96.1 and 1270.
You know, I've got to be in the minority because I'm very excited for Mondays. I get in so much trouble over the weekend. You know, most people, they go to their job and they're like, God, it's Monday, or school, and they just can't handle it. But I love where I work. Thank God for CBS Sports Radio. Let me back. It's Notch, the Sports Buffet. Good morning. Once again, getting in too much trouble on the weekends. Only an idiot would bet money on the Pro Bowl. The only people who say these things are people that lose money on the Pro Bowl. Talk about that coming up here in a little bit. Also, more football. Richard Sherman might actually make it the entire 2 weeks because Media Day is tomorrow for the Super Bowl in New York. The teams arrived in New York last night. In Newark. They went to Newark. They landed in Newark. They probably just can't wait for that game to get over with, huh? They're landing in Newark. Times Square is going to be a mess. This entire week. Super Bowl week is here. Richard Sherman. Endorsement deals. We're going to brainstorm. It's going to be Radio Gold. It's coming up later on this hour. Got to tell you, though, want to thank everybody that donated to the Reno Media Group's 36 Hours for Kids Radiothon last weekend. Helping out with the Children's Miracle Network. All the money raised. Staying right here in Northern Nevada, helping out renowned Children's Hospital in Reno and sick kids right here where we live. We raised $53,000 the past few days for sick kids right here in Northern Nevada. I want to thank you for that. RenoSportsRadio.com. You can listen worldwide, 96.1 FM, 1270 AM. Once again, my name is Notch. Thank you for listening to me today. Love for you to be part of the show. 823-1920. That is a 775 number. You can help me brainstorm for Richard Sherman endorsement ideas, which we'll talk about in the second half hour of this hour. Lots to cover from this weekend. If I start talking about the Royal Rumble, that means I'm running out of stuff to talk about. But I'll try to keep it going until then. Wolfpack, they're entertaining. Wolfpack basketball, they went to Wyoming on Saturday. Big game in Fresno. And then they traveled straight to Laramie, Deontay Burton's favorite place. Another overtime game Saturday night. They lost to Wyoming 64-62. Say this about the Wolfpack. They're not really a veteran team. They're not really a deep team. But they're an entertaining team. You're going to get some good games out of this team. If you took the Wolfpack, though, plus the 5... You made out like a bandit, though, because the final was 64-62 in overtime. Wyoming was a 5-point favorite. So if you took the Wolfpack, you got the 5 points. You did good. The game went over. 124.5 was the over-under on that game. Finished at 126. Thank goodness it went to overtime. And you know, if it's a 64-62 game in overtime, then there was some, let's just say, shooting issues with the game. Not Deontay Burton, though. He's bashing the city of Laramie, Wyoming. I've been there. It's a nice place. We'll just leave it at that. It's a nice place. 8 for 15, 5 of 8 from 3. Deontay with 25 points. Led the team. It's got to stay in the game, though. Fouled out with 2 minutes to go in the OT. Especially when you have a team where you're running 3 guys off the bench. You're doing an 8-man rotation. Star players got to stay in the game. If that means you got to ease up a little bit in the defense, and it's weird because other than 25 points, Deontay didn't really provide that much of the supplemental stats. He only had 2 boards, 2 assists. Wyoming shot 51% from the field, so you can't say Burton was D'ing up pretty hard during the game against the Cowboys. You got to stay in the game. But he's coming around. I mean, we talked before on the show both the buffet here and with Panama after noon about his draft prospects. And he leads the conference in scoring. I still think you need to show off a little bit in the postseason. Nevada's got to get to the postseason. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But he's a good player. He's a solid young player. I think he's got decent pro credentials. He's got superstar qualities. It's tough to tell on such a young team. And when I say young, usually the word inconsistent comes with that. Case in point, Cole Huff. Monster game at Fresno. 38 minutes Saturday night at Wyoming. He took five shots from the field. Cole Huff took five shots from the field in 38 minutes following up that monster game in Fresno. I don't know if that was Wyoming's defense or if it was just the flow of the game or what. I mean, Burton only took 15 shots. It wasn't like Deontay was ball hogging the entire evening. Wolfpack, again, having trouble with the free throws. These are things if you're running an eight-man rotation, you're having trouble scoring, you got maybe your top heavy with your top three guys, then you have a drop-off to the other two starters, and then you have a drop-off to the three guys coming off the bench who last Saturday night combined for 0 points combined, the three guys coming off the bench for the Wolfpack. Got to make your free throws. That's a coaching thing, too. I mean, it's a focus thing. It's on the player, but it's also a coaching thing. You got to get these guys. You spend an entire practice on foul shots. I mean, literally spend an entire practice on free throw shooting. These are automatic points you're giving up. And you're going into overtime. I mean, they rallied in double overtime to beat Fresno. But they had serious free throw issues in regulation. Then you're costing yourself games. You lose by two in overtime, and you're shooting just barely over 50% from the line. That's what's going to cost you games. Can't believe how much trash they were talking, though. For a team that's 10-10 now, and I like the pack. I like the team. Don't get me wrong. But they're talking a lot of trash for a team that currently is not NIT eligible. You have to be over 500 to even qualify for the NIT, to even qualify to get an invite, possibly, to the NIT. There's that third-level postseason tournament, the CBI or something, but we're not even going to talk about that because I don't even know if that's still around or not. Should look that up. But, of course, Burton was ripping the arena there in Laramie. They're going to be doing a giant renovation of that arena. Mountain West is an up-and-coming conference. The RPI this year stinks. But it's still one of the better, in my opinion, mid-major conferences in college basketball. Totally ripping the arena in Laramie before the game. And, of course, they were giving him all kinds of hell during the game. And then Burton, after the game, kind of backtracked a little bit, which I don't know if I like to see that or not. You got to stand your ground. But this was him after the game. He said, "I loved it. I enjoy that atmosphere. It's fun to be out there in that environment." That sounds like an apology almost, which you can't really do. If you're gonna talk the talk, you gotta stick with it. He wasn't the only one talking trash though. AJ West lighting a fire under Larry Nance's kid. You remember Larry Nance from the Phoenix Suns? I think he won a slam dunk championship back in the day. Larry Nance Jr. Only the best player on Wyoming's team, 14-6 Wyoming team, who A.J. West kind of lit a fire under him by saying he didn't know who Larry Nance Jr. was after the 19-11 that Nance Jr. put on him Saturday night. He probably knows who he is now. They're back here in Reno. They're playing at Lawler on Wednesday night against Colorado State. 10-10. They're still lurking in the top three. In the Mountain West regular season. Can't be thinking about regular season right now, though. I hate to say it, you can't really be thinking about the T word. We should stop using the tournament word when it comes to the Wolfpack. Because let's just enjoy what we have with this team. Because we know what they are. We know they're not necessarily a good team. They're not a deep team. They're a young team. They have talented players at the top. The top three guys, when you count Huff and West, Michael Perez is pretty good too. But they have some issues with depth. They have some issues with free throw shooting. They are playing quality games, though, if by quality you mean entertaining games to watch. I mean, they've played three overtime games in their last five. Let's curtail the expectations a little bit with Wolfpack basketball. Let's not even think about March Madness. Let's just think about each individual game. The old cliche, we're going to take it game by game, day by day. That's what we got to do with this team. Just enjoy the games that we have. Enjoy Deontay Burton. Let him try to boost his draft stock. You gotta work on the. I will use the T word as far as the conference tournament goes. I'm not thinking about March Madness or NIT. The only way they're going to get to that level is through the conference tournament. These regular season games need to be a dress rehearsal for the conference tournament. We need to build confidence. We need to stay healthy. We need to get a better rotation. We need to get the guys coming off the bench, the three guys coming off the bench. We need to get them some shots. We need to get them some minutes. Especially in a short tournament, like what the conference tournament will be. We can't be having tired guys, because if you're going to win a couple of games, if the Wolfpacks stick to where they are, they're third in the Mountain West regular season. You got to think they're going to win the first round game. If you go, the farther you go, the more tired you're going to get if you have a short bench. Your star player can carry you only so far, but you need to have decent enough guys to give your top players a chance to get a breather for a few minutes. We got to cut those minutes down. Listen to me saying we. But hey, they're our team, right? They represent Northern Nevada. First ever state university in Nevada. That should count for something. You got to give them, instead of 37, 38 minutes in a 40-minute game, you got to cut that down to like 34, 35. That might affect their free throw shooting, because tired legs affects the shot. It might help their 3-point shooting too. Tired legs, you're gonna front rim it because you're not getting as much elevation on the jump shot. Or if you overcompensate for that, then you're hitting back iron. Or worse, you're just totally bricking it off the backboard. But I think the time is now to stop thinking about anything beyond the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And let's just enjoy the basketball that we have right now with the Wolfpack. Once again, they're playing Colorado State. It's a big game. Every game's a big game if you want to stay in the top three in the regular season. Wednesday night at Lawler Event Center. So good luck to the Wolfpack. There were a few big NBA games. Want to give a quick mention, though, college basketball. Arizona, 20-0 now. They're looking pretty good. I know it's one of those things where you don't want to... You want to finish strong more than you want to start strong. But 20-0 is still 20-0. So you got to give props to Arizona there. I'm really high on Wichita State also. I love the Missouri Valley Conference. I love those mid-majors. Love the mid-majors. I love seeing them go far in the March Madness tournament. It seems like the deck's stacked against them. You always want to root against somebody who's got the deck stacked against them. And they try to overcome the odds. Wichita State's doing really well. They got a really good coach. I'm hoping that a major conference school doesn't poach him. His name's Greg Marshall, by the way, if you see him in the news. He would be a good coach for my team, Minnesota, Big Ten, but never mind. There were a few big NBA games over the weekend, too. Start with the Golden State Warriors. The Kings have some injury struggles. They got spanked by Indiana on Friday. Pinto was at the game. He wasn't happy with it. But the Warriors, they lost on Friday, too, to the Timberwolves. Kevin Martin with a big shot at the end. Timberwolves beat the Warriors by one. But then the Warriors went to Portland last night, and they beat the Blazers. So they're 28-18. Steph Curry had a huge game last night, 38 points. The spread on that game was closed at Golden State. It was in Golden State. It wasn't in Portland. I apologize for that. In Golden State, they were 6-point favorites, and they won by 9. So that was good. They're 6 in the West. They're still a jump-shooting team. If you're a big Warrior fan, you have to be worried about the big guys, about Lee and about Bogut. That's still a jump-shooting team, kind of like the Western Conference teams, the exciting Western Conference teams that would make it maybe to the Western Conference Finals, the old Dallas teams when they were a run-and-gun type team. Clippers, you live by the jump shot, you die by the jump shot. They're 2.5 games out of 5th, but they're also 2.5 games out of 9th. So something to worry about. Knicks beat the Lakers in Madison Square Garden yesterday. Kobe Bryant, he's not saying he's trying to recruit Carmelo Anthony to Los Angeles to play for the Lakers, but it's one of those things where even by bringing up that you're not talking about it, you're talking about it. It's like when you talk about you don't want this woman to go out with you. You say it loud enough so everybody can hear you, but you really want her to go out with you. But you didn't say it, so you kind of have a cover. I didn't say I wanted her to go out with me. But the fact is you're talking about her going out with you. Whether she does or doesn't is up to her. But the fact is you're even bringing it up. It's very smooth. It's kind of like when you ask a girl out on a date, but you don't use the word date. You say, hey, we should go check out a movie sometime. No, I'm not interested in dating. Well, I didn't say anything about dating. I just said two people that want to go see a movie. That doesn't make it a date. It's just two people going to see a movie. It's a way to cover yourself. Kobe Bryant's trying to cover himself to avoid embarrassment, like the kind of embarrassment that the Lakers felt in New York yesterday. Terrible game for them. Brooklyn's coming on, by the way. They're the team for New York right now. Big win for them in Boston. Big homecoming for Pierce and Garnett. I told you, they're going to be the 3 seed in the East. They'll probably move them down to 4 for home court or whatever. But they will win the Atlantic Division. They're only a game and a half back of Toronto in the Atlantic. And if you took a chance, if you're a gambling fool, if you had all kinds of disposable income that you just had to get rid of, and you couldn't bet on the Pro Bowl, you probably bet on the Miami Heat, which is basically the same thing because you don't know what team you're getting with Miami in the regular season. But the Heat, big win at home against San Antonio. They were only favored by 3.5. They covered that with a 113-101 victory. Big first and third quarters. D-Wade back for the Heat. So now everybody's speculating that Miami is back now. They're quote-unquote back. We're going to see the real Miami Heat team now because they look what they did to the Spurs in the rematch of the finals. But are they really back? Remember, this is Greg Popovich we're talking about. Tim Duncan, 24 minutes yesterday in Miami. Tony Parker, 24 minutes. Manu Ginobili, 25 minutes. He wasn't really lighting it on fire either with 1-7. Shooting, but you know Popovich, he doesn't care about your stupid little regular season national TV games. You can't read that much in the Miami Heat. Stop betting on the Miami Heat. Bet on the Pro Bowl instead of the Miami Heat. I didn't watch any NBA. I was too busy watching hockey this weekend. The Stadium Series, we had 2 outdoor games this weekend. If you took my advice from Panama's show on Friday, and you undered it on the L.A. game, the Dodger Stadium game, because I said the quality of the ice, it's going to be questionable, and it's going to affect the quality of play. So whatever the over-under is, take the under. They set the over-under at 5, and the game ended 3-0 Anaheim. So if you listen to me and you took the under, you're cashing in just like I was. Great game to watch. Jonas Hiller for the Ducks. It kind of helps your over. It kind of makes me look like a wizard when one of the goalies decides he's going to play lights out and shut the other team out. That was pretty nice. A lot nicer than the Ducks uniforms. That bright orange, they looked like they were picking up trash on the 405 there in LA before the game. It looked like they were from San Quentin on work release or something. The Kings were rocking the old black and gray when they were trying to rip off the Raiders look. But it looked pretty sharp, actually. Their uniforms looked a lot sharper than their play. They had a 5-on-3 that they blew. It was a great atmosphere. KISS performed. They had beach volleyball there. The ice held up pretty well. I'm surprised by that. It wasn't the best. I mean, you're obviously going to have some issues, but if you can make sure the refrigeration for the ice is working really well. The ice held up. They used the word unique a lot on Saturday, which kind of irked me because apparently they didn't know what the word unique meant. Unique implies something that's totally one of a kind that can never be duplicated. And you know that this is going to be duplicated. They're going to do another warm weather game. They're doing two of them in Yankee Stadium in a week. So you know they're going to go back to Dodger Stadium. Or they'll go to NorCal and they'll play a game maybe at the new Levi's Stadium. Or even better, AT&T Park. Why? Actually, I don't think that would be better. It'd be better because it's downtown San Francisco. But I like the hockey games in football stadiums a lot more than baseball stadiums. There's too many terrible sight lines when you set up a hockey rink at a baseball stadium. Believe it or not, one of the games this weekend, one of the outdoor hockey games this weekend, was delayed for over an hour and a half by sun. And it wasn't the LA game. The New York game was really cold, and instead of beach volleyball, they had a giant subway map display on the field. Which, that's just such a New York thing, but sun glare on the ice delayed the start of the Rangers-Devils game, and hopefully you didn't bet the under in this game, which you're tempted to do if you did the research, as I have been known to do. You have a lot of these outdoor games that fall under, a lot of low-scoring games. This was the exact opposite of that. By far the highest-scoring outdoor NHL game ever. It was 7-3. New Jersey had a 3-1 lead, but then six straight by the Rangers, and Martin Brodeur, Hall of Fame goalie for New Jersey, blamed the ice. Of course you're going to blame the ice. They have another one on Wednesday. I may or may not watch because of the uniqueness of it all. I'll probably watch it on Wednesday until Nashville comes on. There's an all-new episode of Nashville on ABC, and then I'll watch that. There was also plenty of football this weekend. I will talk about the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl and why there was so much defense in these games this weekend. That's coming up next on CBS Sports Radio.
Northern Nevada's new home for sports, 96.1 and 1270. CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back at CBS Sports Radio, Notch, the Sports Buffet. Monday, I survived the weekend. Hopefully you did too. Obviously you did if you're listening. 96.1, 1270, RenoSportsRadio.com. You can listen worldwide. Don't forget about our mobile app. If you're not by a computer or if you're not by a radio transmitter, you can still listen. If that's not motivation enough for you to download the mobile app, I don't know what is. Just go to RenoSportsRadio.com for the links. Or you can just go to Google Play or the App Store. A lot of football this weekend. It wasn't competitive football so much as it was football. And it's like they say with sex and pizza, even the bad ones, even bad pizza is better than no pizza at all. It's still pretty good, actually. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. And it's the same with the football. The Senior Bowl, 20-10 game, the South won. And you're probably thinking these All-Star games are boring because they were low scoring. It depends on what you're looking for, to be honest with you. The Senior Bowl is completely different than the Pro Bowl because the Pro Bowl players really, other than cash, have nothing to play for. But the Senior Bowl players actually have a lot to play for because they're trying to impress people. And one of the fundamental things you have to remember about a football All-Star game, same applies to basketball or hockey, I think, also, is that it's a lot easier to have good defense because good defense is all about instincts. And having that motor, having that drive, specifically in football, but also it applies to basketball and hockey, because offense a lot of the time is about timing and precision. Defense is just about reading and reacting. and making things happen. It depends on the level of effort that you're going to put into it. The quality of defense in most All-Star games really depends on the level of effort that you're going to put in. You only have a handful of practices, so even with great players, it's really hard to get a rhythm going on offense. So when defense is let up, which is what you see a lot of the times, especially in basketball and hockey, and even in football, when defense is let up, then it's a lot easier to hide the mistakes on offense. Because guys are wide open. It's a lot easier to hit wide open receivers, even if you aren't familiar with that receiver. It's another thing when you have to do quick timing routes because you're getting covered pretty heavily. But you can tell it was a defensive game because Dee Ford, who's from Auburn, he's defensive end, won MVP of the game. May or may not be the best thing for him, though. Because I'm looking at the last, like, 12 years of Senior Bowl MVPs. Not exactly a list of dignitaries. Christian Ponder's on the list. Pat White is on the list. Charlie Fry is on the list. Remember him? He's one of the long list of starting quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns. He's one of the names on that long list of quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns they've had since they came back into the league. There's only a handful here even worth remembering. Pennington's on there. Tomlinson's on there. Antoine Randall's on there. Phillip Rivers is on there. Last player to win the Senior Bowl to have has any consequence in the NFL is Matt Forte, who was in the Pro Bowl. But it sure should help Dee Ford's draft stock. Christian Ponder went from a third-round pick to 12th overall in the draft, in part because of his Senior Bowl expertise, shall we say. Isaiah Pede, running back for the Rams, he was a Senior Bowl MVP before also. Quarterbacks, they're the main players you want to watch. Joe Bitonio, by the way, got to mention with the Nevada Wolfpack player, the sole Nevada Wolfpack player represented. Didn't hear his name that much during the Pro Bowl. That's actually a good thing because you're an offensive lineman. The only way you're really ever going to get mentioned in the Pro Bowl or in any football game is if you're getting penalties called on you and if you're getting just beat like a rented mule. You know, when the quarterback gets sacked or the running back gets knocked down in the backfield. Bitonio had a pretty solid game. The fact that we didn't hear about him is pretty good. You want to hear about defensive linemen. You don't want to hear about offensive linemen. I really think that the NFL and college should start giving us individual penalty yards as a statistic. It's a better way to assess certain players that we don't hear a lot about, like offensive linemen, because when you have two offensive linemen that are basically equal, I'd like to see how their penalties break down. False start penalties, holding penalties, how many penalties do they have? You know, hands to the face penalties, the 15-yard, the chop block penalties. It's not a way to bash on them. It's just a way to assess what they're doing. It's very hard to assess offensive linemen, but Bitonio, he did pretty well. You'd like to think he'd be drafted at some point. I'm guessing a third-day guy, which is fourth through seventh rounds. But you can draft quality offensive linemen late and get some use out of them. NFL teams have done a lot of that with offensive linemen. There's the guys you take really early, offensive tackles that do really well, the big-name guys. But you can find a lot of quality guys in the rough in the third day of the draft. Quarterbacks, though, David Carr, he looked really good. He's my guy for the Vikings. I'm really high on him. Whoever drafts him is going to get a great player. He kind of has that Brett Favre swagger to him, that attitude, that starting quarterback mentality. I'm not going to say gunslinger, even though I just did. He's got that mentality. The problem is for the bigger name players, there's really not much they can do during a Senior Bowl type of game that changes your viewpoint of him. There's really nothing David Carr could have done that would have changed my viewpoint of him. When he played well, it's, oh yeah, look at that throw. But then when he struggled a little bit, it's like, what do you expect? It's it's an all-star game. These aren't his regular receivers and very few practice. I mean, you're going to make excuses for him when they don't play well, and you're going to gloat, and you're going to go, yep, that's the guy when they do play well. One guy a lot of people don't know about that played really well, fellow Mountain West guy, David Fales of San Jose State. He's looking more and more like a guy that's going to jump up into maybe the second round of the draft. You can use these things as ways to improve your stock. It's only one of the tools to assess players. Of course, there's the combine, and you look at regular season performance. David Fales played really well. He's got good stats at San Jose State. You got to adjust a little bit for inflation because of the Mountain West Conference, because of the quality of the defenses in the conference. But he has the kind of vibe. He's giving off that Nick Foles kind of vibe for me. Nick Foles, third-round pick out of Arizona. Took over for Michael Vick in Philly. He was in the Pro Bowl. David Fales could be that kind of guy. He doesn't look intimidated back there in the pocket. He looks smooth. He performs really smoothly back there. So you got to watch for him. A guy that doesn't perform smoothly back there, I don't know why this kid's getting so much hype. The quarterback from Virginia Tech, Logan Thomas, he's tall, but he's just a statue back there. Very little pocket presence, which that's an instinctual thing. You can't blame that on the fact that he wasn't familiar with his linemen and he wasn't familiar with his receivers. Certain things are instinctual. Pocket awareness is instinctual. You can bounce outside. You can move up in the pocket. There's things you can do to avoid the rush. And this Thomas kid, a lot of people were talking about him, 6'6". I don't get it. I don't think he's going to be a really good pro quarterback. A guy I'm really eating some words on, a guy that earlier in the year, in the football season, I was really high on Taj Boyd, but Taj Boyd had the kind of game where he would have been better off getting in a car accident on the way to the game. His draft stock would have actually improved, I think, had he gotten in a car accident on the way to the Senior Bowl. He played terrible. Had a couple of really bad overthrows. He's kind of got that Vince Young vibe to him. I don't know if that's meant as a compliment or not. He's kind of like a poor man's Kaepernick. At least I thought he was a poor man's Kaepernick. Stephen Morris had a poor game too. Both of them probably very confused. Identity crisis. Because they're both playing for the North team. You got a guy from South Carolina and a guy from Miami of Florida playing on the North team. They're probably going through a bit of an identity crisis because they were throwing picks left and right. Those two guys, they'd be good CFL guys. They'll probably get drafted on athletic ability alone. Pretty high in the draft. I still like Taj Boyd, but he had a terrible game. He had just a rotten, rotten game. Hope it doesn't hurt him too much. He will dazzle in the combine, though. Got to look at his games in Clemson. A lot of quality games against a lot of quality opponents in the ACC. Played Georgia, too. Pro Bowl was last night, and according to William Hill, the game was a push. Team Rice was a one-point favorite. If you listened to the buffet when I was on last week, the Nashville Hotel and Casino, after going over the Pro Bowl rosters, put Team Sanders as a 2.5-point favorite. So, of course, they didn't cover. A very exciting game at the end. Team Sanders had the lead. Had a 7-point lead. In the final minute, Team Rice went down, got a touchdown, and then got the 2-point conversion.
Mike Tolbert's going to be the lead blocker. Nope, he gets the ball.
And he gets the ball, and he is in there. Mike Tolbert has just given Rice's team the lead.
It's so Pro Bowl to have all these big-name offensive players, and then for the 2-point conversion to make or break the game in the final minute, you just run it up the gut with the fullback. Isn't that just so how it happens? 22-21 at that point. This is in the fourth quarter, mind you. 22-21, Team Deion managed to come back down, and they had a chance to win it at the very end. Justin Tucker 67-yard field goal attempt.
Look at the guys at the
line. There's no rushing the kicker, so it's a free kick. But this one is short. And the game is over, and Cromartie will waltz out with it, but the game is over.
In defense of Justin Tucker, it wasn't short by much. It was wide left, but not by much. And it was short, but not by much. Cromartie caught it really deep in the end zone. If it were a 65-yard field goal, he might have made it. It still wouldn't have covered the 2.5 that I set, but it would have given Team Sanders the win with traditional casinos. Obviously, the over-under, this game obliterated the under. 43 total points for the Pro Bowl. There will probably, more than likely, be more total points scored in the Super Bowl in New York with snow and wind and cold than there was last night in the Pro Bowl in sunny Hawaii. That was a low-scoring game. Why was it such a low-scoring game? I'm still trying to figure this out. I almost couldn't get to sleep last night thinking about this. I had to drink some NyQuil. Drew Brees endorses NyQuil, so it's an NFL tie-in. I had to drink some NyQuil just to get to sleep last night because I couldn't stop thinking about why was this game so low scoring? It comes back to the defenses trying. Why are they trying? You're inclined to have good defense when the defense has put forth a lot of effort. I think part of it was, if you look at a lot of the main plays, there were a lot of turnovers in this game. There was some pretty shoddy offensive line play. So the defenses, the pass rushing was excellent in this game. Yet Derek Johnson of Kansas City, who was the MVP of the game, J.J. Watt had a great game. There were a lot of turnovers caused by tips. Rivers had one from a strip sack, basically, that just went up in the air and was caught, so it counted as an interception. It was basically like a fumble. Was it the fact that the defensive players were trying so hard to impress Deion and Jerry? Because there was a different kind of attitude in the game, even though there were coaching staffs involved on both sides. It was basically Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders running the show. And you'd like to think a lot of the players were trying to impress a couple of Hall of Famers, guys they grew up idolizing. That's understandable. I can understand that. Deion Sanders, though, didn't look like Deion Sanders. He looked like a scary homeless guy. He had this beard, and it was like almost completely gray. Deion needs to shave the beard. I can't believe they let you on NFL Network with that beard. He really did look like you needed to give him some change. It was terrible. Jerry Rice looks good, though. Jerry Rice has aged well over the years. He's held up pretty well. Like I said, the offensive linemen were brutal to the quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers, two picks. Patrick Peterson, best cornerback, best cover corner in the... Well, no, Darrell Reeves is the best cover corner, but Patrick Peterson, I think, is the best overall cornerback in the league. Still, he had a great read on the one Phillip Rivers pick. You think that since the defenses were improving... It is unfortunate that so much of the talk after the game, so much of the highlights that they were showing after the game involved players that were getting tackled pretty hard by guys that are on their own team. They weren't on their team in this game, but Josh Gordon getting flipped by TJ Ward. If I'm the Cleveland Browns organization, when I saw that, I threw something. Derek Johnson, when he hit Jamal Charles, hit him hard. Derek Johnson laid the wood on Jamal Charles with a really big hit that was up at the shoulders. Does Derek Johnson forget this is the same Jamal Charles that missed most of the Colts playoff game with a concussion? The franchise running back Jamal Charles? I'm not happy if I'm the teams. They're going to nip this in the bud. So I'd like to think this was a fluky kind of game. It was an aberration, the fact the scoring was so low. 22-21. It was like a real football game, almost. Almost. But hey, it's an appetizer. The main course is coming up. The Super Bowl. Richard Sherman, we're still talking about him. Media Day's tomorrow. We'll have more on Media Day tomorrow. But Richard Sherman, his agent's been talking too. And we're going to help Richard Sherman's agent with some endorsement ideas that I have. 823-1920 if you want to chime in, if you have any endorsement ideas for Richard Sherman. Keep it clean, though, because this is CBS Sports Radio.
96.1 and 1270. CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back at CBS Sports Radio. Notch the Sports Buffet. Bringing the A-game for a Monday. At least I think it's A-game. Richard Sherman's agents bringing the A-game, too. God, I love the media. Such a dead horse industry. It's always a dead horse. You have a dead horse and a stick. $5 for five swings. That's what the media is. Beating that dead horse, and Richard Sherman's still in the news. Richard Sherman's agent, Jamie Fritz, says his client is the most marketable defensive player in the NFL since Deion Sanders. He's more likable, says Fritz. People love this. Brand managers love this. Well, thank God the brand managers love it. Nike Beats by Dre already on board. They're expecting a lot more for Richard Sherman. Until that time comes, I came up with some ideas. This is what I do on the weekend when I'm not getting in trouble. It's probably better that I do things like this instead of getting in trouble. If you're going to take the Richard Sherman brand, you're going to take it to the next level. You need to have a catchphrase. And Richard Sherman already has two built-in, ready-to-go, out-of-the-box catchphrases. Of course, he's got the word mediocre. And then he's got the immortal.
Don't you ever talk about me!
It's kind of like Mr. T with I Pity the Fool. Because Mr. T actually pitied fools. And Richard Sherman does not want you talking about him. So, I envision this entire ad campaign around Richard Sherman being the mediocre police, because he can't stand anything that's mediocre. So, imagine Richard Sherman going into a family's house on a bust. They're making sandwiches. They're using mayonnaise. And Richard Sherman writes him a ticket because mayonnaise is mediocre. Because for a sandwich the 12th man can be proud of, you need the tangy zip of Miracle Whip. Very important that you don't have a mediocre sandwich. And you got to get the 12th man in there, too. I mean, that stupid 12th man thing, you got to mention it because it's the Seattle Seahawks. He'd be great for Netflix with the whole Shermanator thing. Remember from the movie, American Pie movies?
Come on, Sherman. Be the Shermanator.
Like the movie. How clever.
I get it, okay? Maybe I am a geek. Whatever.
Yes. Yes, you are.
All right.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Unless you call me the Shermanator, and only do it when you're watching American Pie and other great movies that you can download right now thanks to Netflix. You can get it in the mail, or you can live stream at Netflix.com. That'd be a great idea for Richard Sherman to do an ad. Of course, there's a bunch of them where you can use the catchphrase, and you could also tie mediocre in for a wide variety of companies and items. Let me give you some examples here.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Skimping on breakfast for my teammates. For the 12th man, you need a dozen donuts from Dunkin' Donuts to feed them all. Get the Richard Sherman combo pack right now. A dozen donuts with a large coffee that beats Starbucks in a national taste test for only 25 cents. Because, of course, 25 is his uniform number. So that'd be a great thing you could do for Dunkin' Donuts. And of course, you got to get with cell phones.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Without doing so, on the brand new iPhone 5. It's the first ever iPhone to come in both bold and brilliant colors, just like our Seahawks uniforms. And while you're doing that,
don't you ever talk about me!
On some mediocre, crappy calling plan, get the new friends and family plan from Sprint. I like to call it Framily. Up to 10 friends, family, and others, unlimited talk, text, and a gigabyte of data for as low as $25 a month per line, separate bills, no early termination fees either. So do that. And of course, there's a lot of people that are going to be watching the game, the Super Bowl, at home, and Richard Sherman could help you out with that too.
Don't you ever talk about me!
While watching the Seahawks play on that busted couch of yours, stop by Rent-A-Center today and get a couch that isn't mediocre. Get 90 days same as cash and watch us beat the Broncos. See, these are golden ideas. Hopefully somebody's writing this down. You can send him to Richard Sherman's agent, Jamie Fritz. He's got to be brainstorming. Someone's got to be brainstorming for him because it can't all be rants. And, of course, we have some restaurant ones. That's the wrong button. Let's try this.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Eating mediocre seafood. Michael Crabtree, mediocre. Joe's Crab Shack, the opposite of mediocre. I always get the crab buckets, and then what you have is the waitress comes by, and she goes, Mr. Sherman, you forgot the tip. And then he goes, no, Richard Sherman never forgets to make a big tip at the end of the meal. And then he just has a big wink and a smile at the end. And I think this is key because it does one of two things. It, first of all, reminds you, if you missed the first 28 seconds of the Joe's Crab Shack ad, that this was Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks, that he was the guy that made the big play in the NFC Championship game. That's number one. And number two, you can't have brand enhancement at all without the ability to speak of yourself in the third person. I don't know why he didn't learn this at Stanford. It's supposed to be a really good school and everything. Notch is really disappointed that Richard Sherman can't speak of himself in the third person. Speaking of Stanford, we have another one that would tie in pretty nicely.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Hanging out with my fellow Stanford guy Tiger Woods in any place other than Hooters. It's the best place to watch the big game because a lot of places can't use the word super and bowl in the same sentence. You know what I mean? But you got to remember, Hooters is the best place to watch a game. Right, Tiger? And then you got to give him a little elbow thing. Because you got to remember about Tiger Woods. Everybody talks about Richard Sherman like he's such a Stanford guy. It's all his defenders are saying, well, he's not a thug. He went to Stanford, for God's sake. He can't be one of those guys because he went to Stanford. Stanford has nothing to do with it. Tiger Woods went to Stanford. He didn't learn to be a philanderer and a serial pervert at Stanford. Nobody, when they were talking about Tiger Woods, when he had his, shall we say, happy Thanksgiving back in the day, no one ever mentioned Tiger Woods as being a Stanford guy. He was just a sicko, right? Well, it's the same thing here. Richard Sherman going to Stanford doesn't really mean anything. It's your behavior. And a lot of people like the aggressive, I'm not going to say thug-like, because he's not a thug. He's a very media-savvy guy. He's brilliant, actually. The fact that we're still talking about him is brilliant. The fact that his agent is saying he's the most marketable defensive player in football since Deion Sanders is just freaking brilliant. And he's got to learn to talk about himself in the third person. It's very important. I have another one.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Without getting the your quarter pounder with cheese combo meal at McDonald's. McDonald's, I'm loving it. See, you can't just go with sit-down restaurants. You have to go with fast food restaurants as well. And McDonald's, I'm loving it is a big thing for Richard Sherman. Tomorrow's going to be media day. It is one of the... As somebody that's been in the media for as long as I have, it's actually one of the saddest days that you're ever going to encounter because you're going to experience some things that will make you scratch your head and wonder how people in the media ever got an education, how they could get an education. We're going to talk tomorrow about Super Bowl Media Day questions, what kind of questions you think should be asked, what kind of questions that probably will be asked. It's going to be a good show tomorrow. I want to thank you for listening to the Sports Buffet this morning. My name is Notch. This is CBS Sports Radio. I've got to tell you, though, before I go, today, a little shameless pimpage for myself as well. It's not all about Richard Sherman. I'm going to benefit myself as well. And my friends at One Nevada Credit Union, I'm going to be out at the new branch of One Nevada Credit Union. It's on Damani Ranch Parkway by the Walmart. I'm going to be out there 3 to 5 today. You got to come by, and I could upgrade your TV situation before the Super Bowl. How would you like a big screen TV in your house before the Super Bowl? Come on by, sign up. You can win that just in time for the big game. If you're sick of your bank or you think of being sick of your bank, come on by. We'll have donuts, all kinds of other giveaways. And they have a grand opening special, by the way, on car loans also. So that's One Nevada Credit Union coming up today, 3 to 5. You can meet me, which is actually not that much of an incentive to come out. But the don't forget, you come by and visit. Just look around. Kick the tires on One Nevada Credit Union, and you could win a big screen TV just in time for the Super Bowl. Well, that's going to be the Sports Buffet for today. I want to thank you for having me on. My name is Notch, and don't forget to be listening tomorrow, Super Bowl Media Day. Bye.